Right, let's focus on social media now, and a man we often talk to focus on that topic is Arthur Goldstuck, MD at Worldwide Works. Arthur, a very good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, mate.
Yeah, interesting times for the big social media platforms in terms of what they ban and what they don't ban. Not a new issue, but the issue of Alex Jones is causing major ructions in the United States. He's a lunatic. He's a conspiracy theorist. He's a guy who puts out wild rubbish who Donald Trump sometimes endorses. I've seen plenty of what he does. He does a thing called InfoWars, and he has propagated the view that the Sandy Hook massacre was a fiction. It was a fake. It was set up, that they were actors. And understandably, the parents of the children killed at Sandy Hook by that gunman are outraged. They don't believe he should be able to say that. And Facebook have taken action. Apple have taken action. YouTube have taken action. But Twitter said no. He doesn't contravene our guidelines with what he does on Twitter. How do you see the significance of this? Where is this going?
Well, firstly, I wrote a column a couple of months ago saying that channels like YouTube or platforms like YouTube had responsibility to remove some of the wild conspiracy theory nonsense that they publish. And Alex Jones' InfoWars is right at the heart of that kind of rubbish. It's not just that they're publishing lies and rubbish and conspiracy theories, but that they're actually harming people severely. And the Sandy Hook massacre is a superb example of that. The emotional abuse that InfoWars and their allies and followers visit upon the survivors and the families of the victims is nothing short of abuse. So I think it's high time this happened. And Twitter really needs to grow up as well and understand that it also has a responsibility to stop promoting or allowing this kind of abuse.
How on earth does that happen physically? There are literally hundreds of millions of tweets a day. How does Twitter ensure that those tweets are within boundaries?
Well, they have a very vigorous community watchdog policy where they allow the members of their user base, and this applies to all of these platforms. They allow people to submit complaints. So they cannot claim to be ignorant or that they cannot police all of this because they've put in place policing mechanisms. So they shouldn't just be paying lip service to that, but also putting into effect their policy when these kind of complaints are raised. They have certain policies regarding community standards, and it should cover this kind of thing. It's not difficult to block links to sites like InfoWars. In fact, it's one of the easiest things that a platform like that can do. So technically, they've got no excuse. And I think their excuse isn't in fact technical. It's really one of what are their community standards.
But is it a question then of getting the person off Twitter entirely, or is it a question of ensuring whatever they do promote is within what you've called community standards?
I don't think it's necessary to get the person as such off Twitter, but when they post links to sites that are demonstrably false and abusive, then those links should be blocked instantly, automatically. And it's not difficult to maintain a list of abusive sites and to keep those lists updated because, of course, people do register new sites all the time. But the more they have to re-register and recreate their domains, the less and less their traffic is. And eventually, the only most sincere followers are going to chase them around looking for their content, and it'll destroy their business because the ultimate intention of even sites like InfoWars is to make money from advertising.
What about the cries of conspiracy and censorship, of saying, isn't the Twitter sphere, isn't the internet, isn't social media meant to be a space of free and robust dialogue, and who's to say what's to be censored?
Well, that's one of the beliefs that people have, but it's simply not true. If you look at the moves that Google are making at the moment to be accepted in China and to be allowed in China, they're going to be complying very closely with the Chinese government's censorship requirements. So if they can do that for a government, they should be able to do that for ordinary individuals who are abused. But I'll give you one of the more real examples of what Twitter should be instantly preventing. And the algorithms, their systems, can do that. If anyone threatening someone else with physical harm should be instantly blocked, their tweets should be removed from the platform, and they should be reported to the authorities in whichever country they're based, if it's possible to locate them in that way. But many of the people who threaten others on social media are traceable. They don't make a secret of their identity. They just believe that because they're behind the computer screen, they can write and say and do what they want, and there are no consequences.
But you've mentioned the flip side of it already. China, that wants to control this for its own purposes, that's not a model of censorship that we like, you or I, yet maybe we're keen to see someone like Alex Jones buttoned down. Are we at risk of, in cracking down on a Jones, are we at risk of becoming more like a China?
There's a vast difference between cracking down on political expression and cracking down on abuse and threats of violence, which is what many of these conspiracy sites eventually come down to, or their followers ascend to that in their support of these sites and of the social platforms. So I don't think one can compare political censorship with censorship of threatening and abusive behavior.
Has Facebook done enough here? Twitter's in the eye at the moment because it's not moving on Alex Jones, but Facebook is the platform that seems to be under the most pressure from governments in this era.
Facebook is under pressure because it is so pervasive. It's the biggest network in human history. It has the biggest user base of any service in human history, and the result is that it reaches so many people. It has the ability to influence an entire nation's voting behavior. So if they've allowed that voting behavior to be manipulated by foreign entities because they aren't able to control how personal data is used, then they have to face consequences in that regard. And then we're not talking about political censorship. We're talking about manipulation of individuals' behavior by, let's call it, illegal access to their personal information. Certainly, with the laws that are coming into play in Europe and South Africa, with the Protection of Personal Information Act coming up soon, that kind of access to individual information is simply illegal, and it's illegal to protect people's privacy. But you could also say it's there to protect their behavior patterns that they themselves believe are their own choices rather than being manipulated.
Just to back to the question asked regarding Twitter and Facebook, that question applies many times over. They have a billion users. They have hundreds and hundreds of millions of pieces of Facebook activity every day. Is it possible for them to monitor all of that in a satisfactory way? Is it just not too big to handle?
It's too big to handle in an accurate way. But I'll give you one example of something that they've been able to do almost from the beginning. Anyone posting a photo of a naked breast immediately sees that photo removed, no matter how innocent. If it's, for example, a breastfeeding story or image and can be beautiful and sensitive, that will be removed. But it took years before they agreed to remove images of violence and beheadings and the like. So it really is a question of responding to pressure rather than enabling their own systems.
On a broader scale, is Facebook likely to be broken up? I've always had a hunch that the Americans in particular, there's a big cycle in American history of antitrust legislation, breaking up organizations that are too big for the general health of the nation. Is there a possibility that Facebook might be forcefully broken up?
That's a very real possibility when you look at the power of their platforms, when you look at the fact that Facebook and WhatsApp are, between the two of them, the two biggest networks or communication services or platforms in the world in terms of the number of people who use them. And Instagram isn't very far behind. They probably control three of the world's six or seven biggest platforms. And that does represent massive power and influence that far outweighs companies that have been broken up in the past by the antitrust authorities in the United States.
Arthur Goldstuck, thank you very much indeed. As always, really appreciate your contribution to Cape Talk, MD of Worldwide Work.